Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast, the greatest Buccaneer podcast in the history of the world.
Facts.
It is in the Guinness World Book of Records. Yeah. Guinness is not certified as yet, but the off-brand one is. Guinness Book of Records, World Book of Records, says we are the greatest, most listened to Buccaneer podcast in the history of all Buccaneer podcasts, and that's probably not even true. But anyway, I'm Mark Cook, along with Trevor Sikahema. Used to play for Arizona Cardinals. Didn't he play?
Wasn't that Vi Sikahema?
I get these two guys mixed up all the time. Mm-hmm. One was Polynesian and one is a millennial white kid from Bradenton.
I'm not an athlete either.
Anyway, the other voice you just heard was our main man, Mr. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be on.
Appreciate you joining us today. And Rick, of course, does his daily podcast. Is it daily?
It is Monday through Friday, Sports Day Tampa Bay. Thanks for the plug.
Definitely check it out. If you're a 620 listener, one of our great partners, we sure miss those guys on in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Him and Tom did a great job. But anyway, that's the life of the radio business. That's why I'm not in it anymore. People ask me all the time, why don't you know? Because I started off in radio in 1988.
Yeah.
People are like, man, why don't you get back in radio? I said, because I don't have the heart for it. it is a tough
it
gig.
Is.
It's a lot more cutthroat than I realized. I mean, I was kind of a newbie doing radio. And of course, they say you're not a radio guy until you get fired. So now I'm officially a radio guy. And it happens, and it's a little like the mob. You know, it's like Sopranos. You never see the bullet. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, okay.
Show up one day, program director after the show says, can I see you in the office real quick?
Yeah, it was a Friday. I thought, they got some ads for me to do.
Not exactly. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, well, this has been an uneventful Buccaneer season, Rick, since we had you on last time. Not a whole lot's happened.
Nope.
Everything's kind of went as planned. Jameis Winston came back from his 3-game suspension and just took this franchise over, getting ready to
really
sign him.
Really earned that fifth year of his contract. They're already running the numbers on his extension,
Rick, you what, 92 did you start 90. Covering this team? Wow.
Yeah.
You've been covering this team since 1990?
Yeah, before you were born, Sonny.
Oh, my gosh.
And the weird thing is I was 15 years old, and they let me do it. And I don't feel as old as you're probably thinking I am now.
No. You look great for 41.
You look marvelous. Thank you.
Well, you've seen a lot.
Yep.
Did you – I mean, and again, I know – you know, you're always I always kind of go to Rick – during the off season and when we do training camp and stuff, it's kind of the voice of reason. I'm not going to say he's a downer, right? But like Scott, who's been doing it for 23 years, he's seen so much from the inside that he's always prepared for the disaster and circus that things sometimes become. And, you know, you had your question marks coming into this season. I mean, we talked about it last year during the season when we knew Jameis was going to get suspended at some point, and people still acted like it was this big, huge shock when he got suspended for 3 games. But, I mean, could you, and even in your wildest imagination, see this team being where they are right now? Or is this where you thought they would be?
Look, you're talking to a guy who's had about 6 winning seasons that he's ever covered with the Bucs, and I've been doing it for a long time. So does it surprise me that they're here at 3-5? No. What surprised me that they got up to such a great start, 2-0, beating the teams they beat, at New Orleans, who hasn't lost since, and then the world champions, which I thought was a possibility because, they didn't have their quarterback back yet, and it was Nick Foles, and the Super Bowl team generally has a slow start next year. But having said all that, I don't think I would have expected it to go sort of the way it went with the quarterbacks, in that I didn't see Jameis getting benched once he came back. I assumed that he would be their quarterback going forward. Now, after watching 10 interceptions and how many turnovers in three and a half games, I totally get it. I think Dirk got to a point, and everybody knows this is a zero-sum year for him and Jason Light, that, I don't trust him.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is that other than, standing on a chair and saying some profane things at Florida State and not getting suspended for Clemson, and then, of course, the 3-game suspension for discipline again with the Uber driver situation. This is the first time I think Jameis in his life has ever been told, this guy's better than you. Mm-hmm. You go sit over here. we think we got a better chance to win with this guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see how he responds to that. But it's not good for the organization because clearly they've got so much invested in him. Right. And it just sort of shows you where they're at with him in that. And maybe more importantly, like where these coaches and GM is at. Like they can't – there's no more – sort of rope. I mean, if this was last year or the year before,
yeah. it's a little
they would
different.
let them play through it. You know, four interceptions, we saw that. I mean, that's, you know, right. okay, well, it was a bad
Jameis
day
has
for
done
Jameis.
That. He's thrown three picks yeah. before, four oh, yeah. picks before, and it's
absolutely.
Fine.
And but not fine, two but things you know I mean. Two things happen. I think that, well, I shouldn't number them because maybe I only got one. But the first thing is the whole season, I wrote about this last Sunday, can be traced. You know, I said in the beginning of the year, this season, as it usually is with quarterbacks, it was all about Jameis Winston. And because he had a three-game suspension, how did the Bucs respond to that? Well, they were focused on the early games. They were focused on getting Ryan Fitzpatrick prepared to play. They took him off the building. They took him off all the mail stuff. They told him to go lead from behind. They put Fitzpatrick up front. And they created, or Jameis's situation sort of created Ryan Fitzpatrick for this team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He got hot. In the off season, in the preseason, he got hot at New Orleans. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is just a dude that we remember, and they don't have these first two games or first three games where he threw for 400 yards, then maybe Jameis just keeps playing.
Yeah.
But because he gave them that opportunity, you know, in professional sports, you never let another man do your job.
Right.
I mean, every guy in the right. NFL yeah. gets his job one of two ways. Somebody got hurt in front of me, or somebody didn't perform and I got a rep and they liked me better.
The mm-hmm. Wally Pipp effect, is that it?
Totally, you know? Especially in football. You right. said from youth league on. I mean, absolutely. You've coached it. I mean, it's like, you know, my son played it. It's you better not miss a practice
that's
or
right.
because all you're doing is giving the coaches an opportunity to look at somebody else.
Sure.
And that's how you lose your job and that's generally how you get it. So I think that all of this, the Fitz magic, whatever you want to call it, is sort of a creation or a result of Jameis getting suspended. And, you know, two things we knew about Jameis Winston. He turns the ball over, and he has some off-field issues. And both of those have come to pass that the Bucs, I won't say they ignored, but they rolled the dice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ended up in the situation they're in now.
Can it be fixed? I mean, can – you know, Scott and Trevor and I have talked about it a bunch. You know, Jameis is who Jameis is. He's going to be a risk taker. He's going to throw – a couple interceptions a game. You can almost count on that, right? But if he throws four touchdowns, as he did in Atlanta, but if the defense is even a halfway decent defense, they win that game and you forget about the two interceptions, though, right?
The thing that
but
always
four interceptions, that's a whole different ballgame.
Is that people, you know, people bring up the names like Peyton Manning and Brett Favre when they talk about, oh, well, look at this, or Drew Brees even, the interceptions and the touchdowns early on in their career when they were younger.
Right.
You know, we've had quarterbacks sometimes say, I didn't really figure it out until I was about 30, right? Until I was later in my career. And, okay, like, you know, you can kind of make numbers say whatever you want, but are you betting on Jameis Winston being Brett Favre? Because there's one Brett Favre, you know?
Oh, I agree.
Everybody who else who has tried to be Brett
sure.
Favre
is out of the league.
Is out of the league.
When you throw, and that's, when you turn
and
the ball
that's
over.
The scary
yep.
thing is that yep. when you're looking at this kind of stuff, you know, to your point, hey, Brett Favre figured out that if I throw more touchdowns, like significantly
right.
more than I throw interceptions, we live with it. We win games.
Right.
Obviously, you know, he was with a historic organization. They put a good winner around him, and he was obviously historic with the Packers and his run there. But with Winston, certainly he hasn't had a lot of help. But to get to that level where you were throwing more touchdowns than interceptions at that rate,
mm-hmm.
there's like one guy who's ever done that before.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen a lot.
Even Favre, like I went back and looked at this because I was writing about it one day. You know, Favre got to a point where he was like 40 touchdowns, 30, almost 40 interceptions, and Holmgren was benching him, and he came to him and he said, I'm done. I can't anymore. I'm going to play Mark Brunell, and I mean it.
Yeah.
You cannot throw this ball away anymore. You're killing us.
Mm-hmm.
I can't play you. And the week went on, and they did start Favre, and from that point, he was about 100 touchdowns and 30 or so interceptions.
Right.
Yeah. He turned it around. But not everybody gets that. And
right.
I don't know what Jameis will be.
Well, he even said that himself, I think, in an interview that just happened.
Yeah.
Favre did.
Yeah.
He said, he's like, right. look, y'all compare me to Jameis and vice versa. He's like, but there's and like and Favre was saying, I'm obviously sympathetic to the style because it made my NFL career. I'm a Hall of Famer because of it. But he said, if you turn the ball over,
you lose.
They're going to replace you.
They will, they will absolutely replace you.
You know, the moment that he thought about.
That's where we're at with Jameis. Like, when he comes back, and I still think he'll play this year somehow.
I do too.
In fact, it's probably better that he does for the organization. But if he comes back, I'm anxious to see what he's about. Because to me, and this might be unfair, but to me, he plays quarterback with entitlement, with lack of consequence.
Sure.
Because there's never been.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can't turn the ball over. There's the whole Jimbo Fisher thing. You know, well, I'm a pie. You know, we'll live with it. Well, you can do that in college. You can't do it. You can't do it here. You cannot do it here.
Yeah.
And there are 20 coaches and their families. There's a general manager and his family. There's a pro scouting group in their family.
Sure.
And you can tell a guy, hey, man, everything is riding on what you do with that football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So important they named the game after it. And he thinks, they'll put me back out there next week. I know who I am. He said one day at the end of before he got benched, I know who I am as a quarterback. Well, so does everybody else.
Yeah.
And you got to change who you are as a quarterback.
Right.
Until you understand that it is not about you, that, you know, every possession ending in a kick is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until you understand all of that, and figure out, yeah, you can lose games, and most games are lost in the NFL, and the ball's in your hands every play. He's not going to get it. And I don't know what happens. I'm still convinced, not that you asked, that he's going to be back next year. I think the Glazers, the family, loves Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Loves him. They're giving Dirk and them a chance.
They
have to give them a chance to win the games. However the head coach thinks he needs to win, they have to be on board with that.
Right.
Because otherwise, they're going to look at his record, and he's going to go, well, you know, you played Jameis, and now, you know, sorry, you lost too many games. But there will come a time where 21 million people are like, 21 million? If they cared about the money, he wouldn't be number two. He's one play away.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick goes out there and gets hurt, and then he could get hurt in the next play.
And, you know,
you'd be inactive if they cared about the money.
Right.
They don't care about the money. Not to mention, the salary cap goes up $10 million a year.
Right. They care a lot more about the future money that happens if he plays and he plays well.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. So he's going to get a chance here. Now, the question is, when they hire, if it goes south and they don't win and they decide to blow out the coach and or the GM, are they going to hire a guy and tell that guy, you have to try to fix Jameis, and we're finding a guy that will have the answers to the test? In other words, I interview with you, and I say, you know what? I can fix Jameis, and that's how I get the job. Or can you hire somebody who has so much cachet that you trust so much that says, I want to start over. I don't want that guy. And would they listen to him?
Yeah.
That's a harder argument, I think, to make if you're interviewing. We're looking way down the road here, but I think Jameis is here. I think they bring in somebody. One more season. Let's see if we can get this thing the right way. Look, Mariota's on his third head coach. Why? Because they have so much invested in Marcus. The same thing that these guys have in Jameis.
It's a lot easier,
it is,
to find a coach than it is to find a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So it makes sense that there's a reality where Jameis is still the guy. This just popped into my head, and I was just thinking about this. Do we all agree that despite what John Gruden said, he was actually thinking about taking either the Bucs or the Raiders job? Do we all agree with that?
That he was what?
That he was thinking about taking either the Bucs or the Raiders?
I don't know what conversations he had here.
Because
I think those two teams were special to him, but I think he leveraged this franchise.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think when the price got to a certain point, these guys were out anyway.
Right.
I wonder what Jameis Winston was in the equation to him.
Because what is Derek Carr in the equation to him?
He's nothing.
I mean, look, I know John. He doesn't like any young quarterbacks at all. And John, you know, I'd be surprised if Derek Carr ends up in Vegas with him. I mean,
he
wants a guy that has the same level of education as he does, and he just doesn't have patience, and he chews these guys up. So whether Jameis would have been a bigger draw, or to your point, maybe he was afraid of taking over a guy like that.
I don't know. Because that's just an equation that I have. Because
I think it was about $100 million.
Well, 100%.
And I asked him at the combine. I asked him at the combine. When did you decide you didn't want to be the Bucs coach? Because when they fired me.
Yeah, I know. I remember that question exactly.
It's like, okay.
I clipped that question. So,
Well, Rick, as you know, watching football is fun, right?
It's a hell of a lot of fun.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's even more entertaining?
What's that?
Not me and you, of course, but when fans have some action on the games. And there's one great place to do that. I'm not saying Rick's vouching for this. Rick's not a gambling man.
I do not endorse.
He's not endorsing mybookie.ag.
We are.
But we are.
Mybookie.ag.
Scott's the gambler of the three of us,
he
to be honest.
Oh, really? I haven't asked him. Yeah, but hold on here.
Scott bets like $20
yeah,
a
listen,
game.
Scott likes to brag. He likes to come into this podcast and say, oh, you know,
I won $50 last week,
won three bets. Yeah. How much you win? $22? Right. All right, cool. You can go to the buffet for one night.
Right. Nice. But the good news is, if you are a novice gambler, if there's something you like to do, you don't have to go crazy, and you don't have to worry about somebody cracking your kneecaps, right? You can put $20 on a game. You lose 20, it's no big deal. But if you put 20 on three games, all of a sudden you got 60 bucks. It's a lot better odds than winning the lottery, right?
What if I went to my bookie, put down $20, but used the promo code Pewter when I signed
up? Oh, I'm glad you asked, Trevor, because you would not get just $20. You would have $40 in your account to play with. So for somebody new who's new into the whole gambling thing, it's a great way because that's just free money.
Yeah.
It's practice money. It's monopoly money, essentially.
Just put $5,000 down, get it up to 10,
yes,
and then take the $10,000 out.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, no.
Oh, so that's fraud?
I think they've got some ways to keep you from doing that.
Sorry.
But if you're interested in putting some wagers on college basketball, which just got started, Florida State beat Florida, fifth year in a row, in case anybody's keeping track of that, the other night. That was a nice game. But if you had some money on the Seminoles, you won big on that one. College basketball is really heating up right now. The NBA, of course. Major League Baseball just wrapped up, but you've still got the NHL getting started with their season. Lots of great places or a lot of great sports to bet on, and mybookie.ag is the place to go, mybookie.ag.
Yep.
Use the promo code Pewter, and they will match your initial deposit. So we appreciate them being a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Rick, before you get out of here, one thing we wanted to ask you about, and Trevor and I have been talking about this since yesterday, Lavonte David and Kwon Alexander going after Warren Sapp on Instagram. Your thoughts on that?
Well, there's not a lot I'd go after Warren about because I don't think you can win that one. But
even if you're right, you're not going to win with an argument.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, and I talked to Sapp about it. He said, "Look, I could be wrong, but he's the one thing that Warren knows is football.
But if he's wrong, then the scheme is wrong."
Yeah, and if he says you should spill this guy this way, or if you're not, then that guy should spill him another way, and if they're not, then why is the safety hesitant coming down? Whatever he said, I believe him.
Right.
You know, because he knows football, and. We've seen guys all year long get the perimeter too easy on this team, and that's what you do if you're playing the Bucks.
Sure.
So somebody screwed up, and maybe it wasn't Lavonte, and maybe there was another defense call that we're not aware of. Who knows? He allowed for that. He said, I could be wrong. But to come after – and look, Sapp wasn't given his credentials, but he did. I mean, you know, his first ballot Hall of Famer, he's got his gold jacket. It's not like he needs any more validation, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that he did it, had his career. I don't know why he's breaking down film on Instagram. That's another story. But I think you're better off leaving him alone. I think you're better off just saying, okay, I'm not going to trample one of the few guys in this organization that put Tampa Bay on a map and put the Lombardi Trophy in the lobby.
Absolutely.
When I'm sitting here and I haven't had but maybe two winning seasons in my career, I'd be very careful with that.
Warren Sapp, even in, what was he drafted, 95, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even then, their defense was never anywhere near as bad as this defense. Kwon and the two captains of the worst historical defense potentially in the NFL. In NFL history. You know, just you cannot win. You're just going to look really bad going after a guy, you know, who's where, like you say, where's the gold jacket?
You and I talked about this. The thing I don't get is that if you're even Lavonte David – if you engage on that, you know social media. You know what's everyone's. Yeah. Everyone is looking at this.
Right.
If you just come at him and say the two words "dead wrong" with no rebuttal,
and just leave it at that, that's ridiculous.
Then who do we believe? The guy who broke down what you did wrong,
right?
Or are you just saying the words "dead wrong"?
Right.
Like that's the part that I didn't get. And here's the thing. Okay, so he's not gonna want to divulge the scheme or something like that. Then don't respond.
Don't say anything. Yeah.
Come on, man. You gotta have.
He's got way more followers than you do.
And I'd said this. You know, I said this on Twitter. Lavonte David is an incredible linebacker. He's one of the best in the league when he plays with focus. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
There's just don't do that.
Right.
Don't. Because here's the thing. You probably screwed up. like I don't know how you look at that play any other way to think that the linebacker has to contain the running back, because ain't the safety is doing that, and the corner is not a run fit. You don't plan for any of those things.
What? You don't expect Brent Grimes to come up and make a tackle?
To set the edge? No, I don't. And neither is Mike
Unfortunately,
Duckner.
Neither do the opponents.
So, yeah, exactly.
I mean, Brent Grimes has become to this defense what DeSean Jackson was to the running game last year.
Yeah.
You couldn't run to Deshaun's side, and you're going to find Brent Grimes and run to him all day.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of Deshaun, I did want to ask you about this because you were the one who asked the question of Cutter on Wednesday, kind of point blank. Hey, you know, Deshaun basically said but didn't say, because he didn't deny, asking for a trade. And I'm not sure if you've written about this yet or if you're writing about it in the future.
I did.
You know, what did you make of Deshaun kind of talking in the locker room yesterday the way that he did? And then what did you make of kind of the way that Cutter handled the question of
that?
Well,
look, I think a couple things. I think Deshaun definitely asked for a trade. I think that's obvious.
I mean, I think so too.
In fact, I would tell you that's true.
Do you think he went to Jason?
Yes.
And said, yeah, I want out of here.
Yes.
I think.
Or
yes.
Did he say, like, look, if you guys aren't going to use me, you know, then why don't you find
I don't know the exact conversation, but look, the gist of it was, I'm ready to be traded if you know,
yeah,
if that's what you want to do. I mean, he initiated it. I mean, trades sure usually happen in this league where the club calls you,
right,
and tells you you're packing your bags. It's not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously initiated it, which means he was frustrated, and not just getting the ball, but frustrated probably with losing. He also recognizes that next year's $10 million isn't guaranteed. He's also 31 years old, and he can hear the clock ticking louder on his career. So all those things. Now, he did it in a private way. I'm sure he didn't expect it to be made public by Ian Rappaport, but when it was, it was. What I asked Cutter was, because I asked first, and it was kind of a trap, but I mean, I asked him, you know, is he a good teammate? Oh, yeah, he's still a good teammate.
In fact, he's going to be captain this week.
Because last year he wasn't, and then he told us he's going to be captain, which the last time I asked about captains, I was told, well, you care. Exactly. But anyway, he volunteered that, yeah, he was going to be captain this week. And then the follow-up was, well, can you be a good teammate if you're actually asking to be on another team? You know, and I suppose you can be both. I mean, it depends on how you work. It depends on your relationships. These guys in the locker room, I think, respect him for his career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's sulking, per se. He wants to win, and he wants to get his touches. So I think they didn't trade him, and I know this, because they feel like he's a big part of what they do, and
yes,
they need to win. They're not, yes, looking to get rid of good football players, yes, right now, because,
right,
they don't have the luxury.
I'm
getting a mid-round pick,
right,
for who?
Right.
This isn't going to help me.
You don't bench Jameis Winston and then trade DeSean Jackson.
No.
Why would we pull off a guy who's accounted for, yeah, a shit ton of yards?
He's averaging 22
year.
Yards a touch.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
People kept talking to me about the Bucks, you know, shipping off this and that and being sellers. I'm like, this team's not sellers.
So if you get a third round pick for Deshaun, probably what teams were offering, I'm just guessing there.
I'm sure they're
lower
offering
than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so who in the heck as a receiver are you going to get a guy? Because this team is absolutely considering bringing Deshaun back next year. A lot of people think it's,
yeah,
a foregone conclusion that,
right,
he's done after this year.
Right.
But he could be back next year. And who are you going to draft? I mean, again, finding
you
a
– You can draft a good guy, but at the end of
maybe,
the day, like,
maybe,
it's a rookie.
You might draft a kicker.
Right.
All you've said, the only two words you've said that make any sense is next year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say next year to Dirk Cutter and Jason Light.
Yes,
I'm
true.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
can't say next year.
Yeah.
And that's why he's here.
Yeah.
And that's why they made no deals. And that's why they gave up no second. I mean, if anything, you could say, well, why didn't they give a second rounder to Landon Collins, which nobody did
right,
in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you would have thought they would have leaned more towards, let's give up assets now because I'm cooked if I don't. So,
right, yeah,
anyway, that's sort of where I fall on that.
I was a little surprised that they –
All right,
didn't make a move. But
we were talking about Sapp just a minute ago. You know what Sapp loves to do when he's not talking football?
Fish.
Wow,
of
he
course.
Nailed it.
And I wonder if Sapp knows of T.A. Mahoney's. If not, we're going to make sure Sapp gets to T.A. Mahoney's. Make sure they take care of Brian Sapp.
That?
Because T.A. Mahoney's has everything for your marine needs that you could possibly want, Trevor. And I mean everything. If they don't have it, stop looking. It's not available. You bust a hole in the hull of your boat, they can fix it. You got trailer issues, they can fix it. Lighting issues, they can fix it. Electronic issues, they can fix it. Your life jacket blows out going down 275. Swing by T.A. Mahoney's, pick up a new one, because you don't want that ticket from the Marine Patrol when you get to the dock and you go to launch your boat and you don't have enough flotation devices for each passenger. Baits, all kind of fishing gear, even the clothing that you wear, T.A. Mahoney's is your one-stop shop for all, everything. They've been in business, Rick, since 1948. That is about...
That's older than me.
That's even older than Rick. Not as old as Fred Goodall, but it's been, but it's definitely older than Rick. Family-owned and operated, a great place to go if you have any fishing and marine needs. T.A. Mahoney's, check them out online, tamahoney.com. Rick, we appreciate you joining us, man.
Thank you, guys.
It was fun. Thanks.
We got to get out of here, wrap up this press conference, because Dirt Cutter's coming up. Today is Thursday. We're going to go wrap that up real quick. Just a reminder, on Tuesday night, our big Adarius Taylor live podcast, our next one will be next Tuesday night. It will be from Ford's Garage in Lakeland, Florida. So all of our Polk County, Eastern Hillsborough County listeners, get out there, join Adarius Taylor. We're going to have some great food and drink specials. Ford's Garage is a great place to go to watch Monday Night Football, although we'll be there on Tuesday. You can go watch Monday Night Football, Sunday Football in the afternoons. If you're not going to the Buccaneer game, swing by Ford's Garage. Great food, great prices, great Bucs fans over there. And Adarius Taylor will be there available for photos, for autographs, and will be a guest on the Tuesday midweek edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. That's in Lakeland, Florida. We'll have all the information up on our social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook coming up a little bit later today, including a Facebook event. No need to RSVP, but just show up and have a good time. For Rick Stroud, who bailed, Trevor Sikkema, who's still here because he has to be.
Somebody's got to press end of the podcast.
For Andy Scavelli over there with the camera, who's been filming this. And I'm Mark Cook saying we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.